Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Kenneth Furland.
Tony Keel.
John Archer.
Raf Hai.
With guest co-host
Kyle Calgren.
All right.
Okay.
We just went through like an hour and a half of technical difficulties, but we're still going to have fun. We just might be talking a lot of shit about Vista, XP, Skype, Pamela, Linux, laptops, computers, users, and data.
Yeah, and the internet in general.
Yeah, fuck the internet. Fuck everything technology. We could have better timing doing this damn show with smoke signals.
Tin cans and a piece of taut string.
Oh, that would work great, man. We'd just do a conference call with that shit, you know? Oh, my God. But anyways, we're excited to be actually on the show now. We're going to record a show, and we're going to have fun, albeit we may be a little bit grumpy, because none of us have gotten enough coffee or food or anything, you know, and we're going to have fun. If there's no fun, we're going to have to fight at the end of the show. We're going to actually beat each other up.
Over Skype.
Yeah, Skype now has a new plug and allows you to do that.
Yeah, let your fist go right through your monitor to another one.
Well, I was thinking just like a USB fist on the little spring action, so you just plug it into your USB and it punches you in the face. I think that's the new. I'm copyrighting that right now. Copyright.
You mean patenting?
Patent, copyright, kiss my ass. All right. Welcome to Modcast episode 28. Today we are joined with Kenneth Impaler WRG Furland.
Kneel before me, mortals.
John BTR's Archer.
Is this microphone working?
Tim Ruffhai Pratt.
Well, I think mine's working.
And me, Tony Garrett Zaka Keel, hello, with special guest co-host Kyle CF Kane Calgren.
Dear God, I hope this works.
Yes. So, no matter what, recording this show, if the call drops everyone, I'm just going to talk to myself. All right? I do that all the time anyways.
We've got 20 minutes to record a 45-minute show, so we've got to speak very quickly.
Now if okay. You're talking and no one's listening to you, is that like talking to yourself?
Have you got one hand clapping?
So long as it's over the internet, no. You are
never alone. The internet watches you while you sleep. A tiny webcam.
So it's like Santa Claus.
Yes. He knows when you are typing. He knows when you are FTP. He knows when you have pirated. So be good for goodness sake.
Hey!
All right, yeah, we got to not sing.
It's a series of pipes. Don't you know? Oh, sorry. I thought we were going to the second verse.
Yeah, we're breaking. Thank you.
Downloading viruses and make it go slow.
We could do a whole song. It would be an internet hit and be a viral video.
I think we have our song for our next Christmas special.
Yeah, but you know, we're breaking Dan Q's number one rule. Don't sing on the podcast.
No, it's not Dan's rule. It's the girl's rule.
Oh, the girl's rule?
Yes, they are the ones who impose
But they
that.
Always break the damn rule. They sing all the fucking time. That's not fair. That's sexist.
Well, that's their rule. They can sing,
because
but the guys
rule
can't.
Isn't no one sings. It's
no,
Dan don't
that's
sing.
That's sexist, because the girls get to sing, but we don't. All right.
No. Dan's Canadian, so that's
oh, he's
totally
not allowed
wrong.
To sing. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he should not even speak at times. But
today in Code Corner, we covered one of the coolest apps ever, Ruffhai's play-by-email emailer.
Today, in the artist sketchpad, we looked at the Aussie Cavalry by Bernie 14, Medes of Egypt by the Navy SEAL, Stone Age Unit Pack and More by Bakuel, and Bristol Blenheim by Dutch King.
Today in the Modder Spotlight, we look at the Fictionalization 4 mod by C.F. Kane. Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods or any other non-graphical mods in the Civilization 4 modding community.
I have some wonderful things in my goodie bag, and the first thing on our list is dun dun dun, done by our co-host Ruffhai. Ruffhai made something for someone out of code.
No, I am a music minor. I can sing for you.
Take it away.
That'll work. Now, we've got here a neat little bit of what, Visual C or Java?
It's .NET, VB.NET.
Oh, okay. Did you see this here, Ken, that I put up?
Yes. I'll let Ruff take it. He knows it more than
Ruff.
Oh, yeah.
Interview myself. Effectively, I put together a play-by emailer. Try saying that fast. I got bored with having to email play-by-email games around. The Civ 4, it has an inbuilt feature where it can forward it, but my IP was blocking their forward options. So I had to used to manually email it through my Yahoo or Gmail account.
Boring.
I got really bored. And I wrote this crash-hot program that automatically emails the email on. And I start it. And it comes up and says, these are the emails, these are the play-by email games you're playing. The blue ones are ones I haven't forwarded on yet. I click on those, I send OK, and it's done.
Really?
Okay, next subject.
So it goes into the Civ folder and yanks that save file and then automatically emails it?
You have to give them the save file. You tell it who to email it to, and you put in the other players in the game, and they get a GPS, like saying I've just forwarded the game on to XYZ.
Oh, sweet.
So is that only for people who are still on dial-up, Rob?
No. I wouldn't use it on dial-up because the game's pretty slow.
John's just jealous because he's got crappy bandwidth.
That's true.
what's it about your ISP that's blocking, and about how many people do you think are affected by that similar condition?
Well, I'm with Cablevision? Yeah, Optimum Online. And they've probably got an anti-spam block in place.
Oh, great.
And I think a lot of people are affected. So far, a grand number of, 402 people have downloaded this little app.
Well, maybe. There you go.
Put yourself, didn't you?
And how long ago did you release it? Just recently?
Well, no, I released version 1.6 just a week or so ago. But I probably released the first one about a year or so ago.
November 3rd, 2007.
There you go. A year and a bit.
But yeah, I just noticed this in the file thread, and I was like, oh, cool, a little application. That's awesome. Now, to run this, do you have to have, like, .NET framework something-somethinger?
You probably need the VB.NET extension, but it automatically comes with Windows, doesn't it? Someone asked me whether this will run it on Mac, and I said no. I've got a few other small apps as well, but I'll leave those for later.
Well, you
got
to forward the links to me so I can. We're running out of code, man. We need more coders. All the coders have stopped producing code, so send me those apps you made so I can plug them into the code corner.
Okay.
And
they're tiny.
Tiny is good. That means Ken can actually look at the file.
Again, what's the point? He knows how they're written.
Well, yeah, but I heard I make a little partial announcement. Ruff might be.
Yeah, I'm rolling off. This is my last episode, so see ya.
Aww. See? And then we have all these morning women crying. The two of the last seven listeners are crying now because they were Ruff High fans.
And the other five are doing little happy dances. Woohoo! Get rid of that guy!
Oh, yeah, those are the Ruff High. Those are the Ruff High haters.
Poor shame. Poor shame on you, the haters.
Aww. Well, we're going to miss you, Ruff. Hey, can we kidnap you occasionally to come on the show?
If you don't have any setup problems, then yeah, I probably might be enticed back in an hour of need.
So what do we have to do to make you stay? I mean,
okay.
I mean, what's it going to cost
here? Here's the options. If I lose my job, I'll come back. If you can guarantee that I won't lose my job, I might do the occasional show. How's that sound?
So what, your job sends you on weekend homework? Like, you're a lawyer, right? I thought lawyers could, like, you know, use lawyer powers and not do any work and just get a lot of money.
No, not a lawyer. I'm an actuary involved in an insurance operation. I'm actually a consulting actuary, and that's those sort of work at the moment's pretty tight. So
what the hell's an actuary?
Insurance.
I think that's where you predict risk and so if the market blows up.
Yeah, about that. You guys kind of fucked up there.
Well, I don't work in the market risk. I'm working in, what type of car do you drive? What color is it? What's the probability of you having an accident? And what's the size of the accident going to be?
So which color car has the most accidents? Let me guess red.
Oh, yeah. Red cars go faster. Everybody knows that.
And red car drivers are idiots for buying a red car. So you know they're going to wreck it.
So they may not necessarily get in more accidents, but when they do, the accidents are
way
worse.
Bigger.
They're like, hold this beer. Let's see how fast I can go. Watch out for that tree.
George of the Jungle is driving this car.
Yeah.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community.
I have even more goodies in my goodie bag today, and since we have two Australian bastards on the show, I picked out Aussie Cavalry, since, you know, Australians typically ride horses to work instead of cars, and they wear those little bent-up hats like Crocodile Dundee, because...
Slouch hat. You got to get it right. It's called the slouch hat.
Yes, but they're only bent on one side.
Yeah, it's got a little feather. He's cool. The light cavalry was a World War One mainly, I think. There was a very famous charge of the light brigade in the World War One where we overran some of the Turks.
So wait, Australia
in Beersheba, right?
When did Australia fight in a World War One?
Everyone fought in World War One. That's why they call it the World War. You know.
Well, this guy, I mean, I figure Aussie's like, we'll just stay back in this in our big island continent.
Yeah, except England says, oh, we're having a war. Do you want to join in? And Australia's leaving about 2 nanoseconds. It's like George Bush saying, oh, we're going to invade. And Australia's there. When do we start?
Yay, let's do it. We're the sidekick country. The sidekick continent.
No, they're the sidekicks to our sidekick.
Oh, man. But this guy's... usual, the typical good work by Bernie 14. It looks like recolored the horse. It looks like the, the cavalry civ. So he's got the repeating rifle, and he looks like he even put on a little cavalry sword. And, of course, he's got the little bent-up Australian hat to prove that we are Australian in this unit. I like it. Looks awesome. Yeah.
He's got a little picture. If you scroll down, he's got a little picture of them in-game. And he's got a flag, which the... It's not the Australian flag, it's the Southern Cross.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's a little... I mean, it looks like someone... He was drunk when he actually drew the fifth star, but that was...
anything related to Australia usually involves alcohol of some kind for some reason.
Yes, absolutely.
I've always heard that your Southern Cross is, like, actually is that lame-looking, that it's not at all a cross.
It's a little bit...
Okay,
cross.
See?
And it also...
It's a big secret.
The top and the bottom... The top and the bottom stars actually point out the southern pole.
Yeah. So you guys don't get lost in your reversed compass world you live in. Like, do your compasses point to the South Pole?
Yes, that's right.
That's really weird. Yes. So I couldn't handle that. The compasses point to the South Pole, summer is winter, and the toilet flushing in the opposite direction, that shit would just
actually
drive me insane. I
think that's a common misconception. I've heard that,
Yeah, that's a urban legend.
Yeah.
The last one's a myth.
Well, the Coriolis effect is...
But hamburgers do eat people there.
Yes.
The Coriolis effect is not going to apply to toilets. The reason why that appears to happen is because the American toilets are jet-powered, and Australian toilets aren't.
But the Coriolis effect...
If the water coming into a bowl is at all has any angular momentum, is that determines the way the water cycles. If the water is coming in at a different angle, then it'll go the other way. So it's all determined by the design of the toilet.
Well, this is an important part of Australia.
Stay tuned to podcast episode 28 for fluid mechanics.
Episode what the hell ever.
It's just a simple conservation of angular momentum.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Nerd.
Toilet humor.
All right. Enough of this Australia.
This is a cast. We're both nerds. You're acknowledging I'm a superior nerd.
I am the nerd who is not that smart, so I'm like an inadequate nerd. All right. Look at this guy. First of all, this guy looks wild. You see this guy? He looks wild. He's got a pyramid. Yeah?
Is this Ra?
No, this is Menes of Egypt, one of the various pharaohs who liked large pyramidal buildings.
Large pointy monuments.
Yes. To be buried under, 30 years after they died. So, a little bit ripe there. He's got, of course, the golden goatee, which one day I'd like to have myself. It looks like a lot of kit bashing in this leaderhead, but it was done really smoothly.
Well, at least he isn't pulling and tugging on his beard.
Yeah, I remember that guy. He was trying to rip his beard out. This is a whole different ballgame. It looks like he's got his hat is from a different leader. Darius. And he's got the little snake thingamajigger from the other leader.
That's an addition. Yeah, it's been grafted into the helmet, it looks like.
Yeah, and then, of course, the little... The the sash he's wearing looks like it's from Hannibal.
Yes. A lot of mixing and matching of different elements here.
But it's smooth. It looks smooth. There's no seams. It looks like it works together. He's got that fruity makeup that Egyptians somehow wear.
The colors seem to be, I don't know, an odd combination of, like, the sash. Is it supposed to be like a cheetah or something?
It's
orange with brown spots on it. And then the way that the blue and the gold make an odd-looking helmet. I mean, he looks like the person who's dressing him is colorblind, in a way.
Yeah, that's basically like me when I get dressed.
I don't know. Ancient Egyptian color schemes tend to go that way. The harsh blue and the bright gold.
Oh, so it may be historically accurate?
Seems pretty accurate.
You see, up until my wife started dressing me in the morning, my mom did. So I can feel with this guy's, you know, color issues. Awkward silence.
Interesting. So historically, what do we know about the guy? Which pyramid did he build?
Let's consult my external memory. External memory says he is credited with founding the first dynasty of Egypt sometime around 3100 BC. Therefore, that pyramid behind him is a mistake. But he was...
So he united Upper and Lower Egypt? Is that it?
He was a mythical ancient Egypt guy, similar to Romulus and Remus for ancient Rome.
Oh, so he may be purely a mythical character, they think? I mean, not.
Oh, he might be real somewhere along the way.
United Upper and Lower Egypt, like you said.
Ah, okay. So he's the first king of Egypt.
Well, if he united Upper and Lower Egypt, then maybe you're right. Maybe his color scheme is off, like in the hat. I think in his hat, at least, the gold should be red and the blue should be white.
Yeah, because they had the double hat thing and then they merged the hats.
And according to Manetho, who is some kind of historian, Menes reigned for 62 years and was killed by a hippopotamus.
The hippopotamus was the most dangerous animal in Egypt.
It still is, man. Don't fuck with a hippopotamus.
Those things are lethal.
I think that people were probably killed because they had all kinds of medicinal things that they did with the hippopotamus.
Like erectile dysfunction
that were kind
drugs.
Of gross. Yeah, but I think like the cure for baldness was like hippo dung.
Oh, that's great. You just rub that in, massage it into your head, and then your wife won't go near you for a couple weeks.
So I can see how someone would be killed by a hippopotamus. It's like, oh, I got to cure that baldness.
Well, but if you stuff your head up a hippopotamus's ass, expect to be killed.
Is that really the best way to get hippopotamus dung, though, sticking your head up his
if
ass?
If you want the freshest kind, yes. Oh. Hippopotamus dung.
So what's the name of this episode?
Oh, pretty much.
Hippopotamus dung and toilet humor.
As I said, my fun meter. Let's relax.
Yes.
Take some breaths and let's go to the next goodie bag I've got. It is our good friend Bacuel, who has been notorious lately for releasing a dozen units in a time. Mm-hmm. He has got us some warriors for the Stone
warriors
Age.
And scouts.
Yeah, he's got Sumerian, Korean, and Mayan Stone Age. And he's also got some more scouts, like he said. And an Aquilonian infantry, which is, I haven't seen one of those in a while. But we've got the Sumerian warrior. He's got, the big old beard that is associated with Sumerians.
Yeah, he doesn't need a club. He just hits you with the beard.
Yeah, he just does the beard attacks.
Big braided beard.
And I like what he did with the club. He turned it into sort of a stone hatchet kind of deal. It looks kind of nice.
It's a Neolithic stone-headed axe. It has little bindings on it. You can see it's very old-looking.
Yeah, it looks good. And then, of course, the Korean units has those little top knots, which we know, of course, every Korean has to have the top knot. And I can't really see what the weapon is on this one, though.
I think he's got the same Neolithic axe.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I know.
But, or is it a pistol with a silencer on it?
From the angle it's being held at, it could be a pistol with a silencer or an axe. We can't really tell.
Pop a cap in your ass, Stone Age style. And then we've got the Mayan now. What is the weapon on the Mayan? Of course, he's got the little ponytail for the Mayan now. And
It's a flame torch.
Two sticks
it's
in a
club. Look at the detailed pictures.
Is it?
He's got some blow-ups.
And it looks like a big rock at the end of a club, or is it just wood?
Just a club.
I see the close-up, so you can see it a little better. And they have the face paint, of course, which These look good. I love ethnically diverse units. They make me happy. And we also have, looks like he pulled a unit out of the American Revolution scenario, or is that the colonization?
It says like he's done a couple where he's changed animations on units for people that to fill requests specifically from different modders who needed something for their work. So he's got a American Revolutionary unit with the Musket Man animation.
Very cool. So that's a Rebone.
Rifleman with a Musket Man animation.
Rebone technique.
Yeah. And then a unit that's going to be uses the Oromo Rifleman animation.
Which is cool.
To create a Swiss guard looking guy. It's very nice. I like the breeches and the boots on
and
this.
And he's got
thing.
That kind of, that Oromo has this hunched over, angry pose, you know?
Oh, and look at these. He's got like the hat that makes you look like a pilgrim.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's freaking...
It's like, I've got a buckle in my hat, you know?
Yeah, the buckle keeps...
Like Guy Fawkes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what we got down here is the Aquilonian Infantry. Now, is that from scratch?
I don't believe so. It looks like it's kind of Praetorian-ish based unit or a Roman legionary.
Well, it uses the Praetorian animations.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like he did some modifications to the armor and the helmet. Of course, there's a cape. The Praetorian come with a cape.
I believe so.
Because I love capes. Capes are the shit. And yeah, these look great. Bakuo always releasing a big ton of units. I wish that maybe Civ 5 would have ethnically diverse units already factored in. Mm. I mean, they have, you know, hundreds of slave modders to make them for them, you know. So every Civ has its own set of units. That would just be insane.
Well, I think it's probably pretty probable that they'll use at least what they did in BTS, you know, which was my mod, to make it at least codable to, you know, you can put them in.
Well, I'm assuming they're going to make Civ 5 moddable, because I think most of their money towards the end, you know, later in the selling process was because Civ 4 has just so many mods, so much replay value.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was worth it, I think, for them in the long run, in that it made people make mods. I mean, like Fall from Heaven, that definitely increased their sales just because Fall from Heaven existed, you know.
6 or 7 months ago, Civ 4 was back on the top 10 best-selling games.
Really?
And that's like, yeah, like 3 years after it was released.
Are you not thinking of Civ 4 Colonization?
No, Colonization was not there. Civ 4 made it back to the top 10. It's on the CFC news page from a few months ago.
Damn.
And I was like,
I missed that.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw that. It was pretty impressive.
You saw that?
Yeah, I did.
You saw that? Oh. So, Civ 4, Civ 4 Axis, don't screw up this paradigm. We like to mod. We like you guys to let us mod. You'll make money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's much chance of them screwing that up. Well, maybe EA Games, if they had bought us, maybe that would have, that could have been a problem. They'd have been like, first person shooter, Civ 5, crush your enemies. Use the sling. Use a club. Dunk. And make sure to download Madden 12. Yes, I'm glad that EA doesn't have this. And then we have a little airplane. We all love airplanes. Airplanes.
Airplanes.
And we all love our good friend Dutch King, who I still have not yet been able to Shanghai onto the show. If you're listening, DK, get your ass on this show. I'm sure you're over 13, so you don't have to worry about the Internet Privacy Rights Act. So get on the show. If you're under 13, forget about it.
This is another redo of an earlier unit, and he's decreased the model by 1,000 triangles to improve performance. And he's also added gloss as well.
Ooh. And I like the ones in the bottom. I think the top one looks like it's right out of a modeling program, but you can see the gloss in the bottom pictures that's on the windows.
Yeah.
And it looks really nice. It looks really nice.
The props look really good with the spinning.
I think the colors on the windows is still a little too tealy looking. I mean,
I totally agree.
I think it could be a little darker.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, this adds to our World War II repertoire, which, of course, there's a bunch of great mods for World War II. And there's, I don't know, they made so many damn airplanes in World War II. Like, they made this airplane, you know, produced it, flew it for, you know, a few months till they were all destroyed, and they made a new airplane.
This airplane, by the way, is called the Bristol Blenheim version 2?
Blenheim, looks like.
Blenheim.
No, this is a English plane, and this has a German-sounding name?
It might be French, because, you know, There's a flag on the tail. It's like a French flag.
Oh.
You've clearly got Royal Air Force RAF symbols on the wings there.
Yeah, the blue dot with red dot is English, but it's pronounced Blenheim, and there's lots of English words. Blenheim.
I mean, English is derived from German, so...
Well, maybe these were planes sent into France to fight Germans. Mm,
yes. Let's give the French some airplanes, which will be easily shot down.
And yet French bashing goes on. French bashing.
I'm not French bashing. I'm just accusing the English of French bashing.
Oh, that's true. That's what I was saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why they call them French frogs in England.
Well, that's what we call British limeys, because they like to eat limes.
That's because limes have citrus and they prevent scurvy, so they give them to their sailors.
It helps them with their teeth. All right. Yeah. We lost another three listeners. We're down to, what, four listeners?
Isn't why they call the Aussies the, no, maybe that's people from New Zealand. Kiwis, right?
No, Kiwis like to eat kiwi fruit because that's their favorite national food.
Okay, does that just mean New Zealand?
You guys are smoking crack. Kiwi fruit doesn't come from kiwi. Doesn't come from New Zealand.
No.
Oh, are they talking about like some kind of extinct bird?
No, it's a live bird.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
It's a little guy. Cute little guy.
Well, I want to pet one. Do they make good pets?
Take your eye out.
Well, they're nocturnal.
Well, I'm nocturnal. It'll work out great. Can you train a kiwi to take someone else's eye out? That's the question.
Skitch him, yeah.
This little bird hops over. That'd be awesome.
Well, that should be the title of this episode, Kiwi Assassin.
This episode's going to have so many potential titles. I don't know.
What about technical difficulties?
We've already done that one, I think.
Well, how about just Fugly? That's what our...
Fugly.
Skype 4. I don't know. You look like. You're fugly.
Oh, yeah. Skype 4 is pretty fugly.
Modding Spotlight, where we discuss and examine a particular mod out of the Civ 4 community.
Kyle.
Yes.
We understand you have done a mod called Fictionalization, which...
is a clunky title. Yes.
Cool. I know. It's fine. You know, I think it goes with your theme. We've covered a good bit of your artwork since you started this mod, and that's why I gave you a PM.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal? What is your mod?
Fictionalization it's something of a metafiction mod. I got the idea after reading Alan Moore's The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen comic, if you know that one.
Mm.
In the story, it's the main bulk of the action takes place in late 19th century England, and Queen Victoria calls together a bunch of adventurers, Alan Quatermain, the Invisible Man, Mr. Hyde, Captain Nemo. And it takes that group and has them fight things like Dr. Moriarty and Wells's Martians. And it keeps expanding to include most every kind of fictional work you can imagine. And so
it's like Sherlock Holmes, maybe?
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes makes an appearance, Dracula.
Yeah, that's where Moriarty comes from. Yeah.
And it goes back to include things like Cthulhu and the Odyssey, the Iliad, Arthurian Legend, 1984, Big Brother, all that stuff.
Plus they go all out in that thing.
Yeah.
So was the really very first huge meta fan fiction mash everything together attempt?
Not the first. A guy named Philip Jesse Farmer did a series called The Walt Newton Universe. Yeah. Basically creating a family tree of fictional characters. So it did things like saying that Tarzan was like the great uncle of Doc Savage and stuff like that. And weird stuff like that. And this mod is basically my version of that. A lot of fictional characters brought into a semi-coherent universe.
And then set them to fight each other.
Yes. More or less, yes.
So is there any gameplay changes, or just swapping out all the leaderheads and then a new bunch of leaders?
There are some new civilizations. Atlantis is in the game, as well as as well as Shangri-La, Transylvania under Dracula, as well as I've introduced a whole bunch of hero units, so kind of Fall of Heaven style hero units, world created units, as well as plenty of new wonders.
Oh, cool.
Most of them are based on Centaum's wonders. Like Stargate is a wonder, and that's based on his Sphinx Python version.
Oh yeah, Centaum does a lot of little hybrid mod comps there, just mm-hmm. wonders with little knickknacks attached. We've covered a couple of them, I think.
Yeah. So there are those, in addition to these other ones that I call Alliance Wonders, which basically let you create certain units, like the Alliance with the Dwarves Wonder lets you build dwarves and stuff like that.
So playing this game is going to be a hodgepodge of all kind of wild stuff.
Yeah. Once I can get it working, I'm planning on including things like dragons appearing, alien invasions. But it's still, it is pretty much in a perpetual beta. I've been working on this for about a year. There's still some problems with it. Python errors. But, so it is a work in progress.
Well, of course, what I don't understand is, with all this fictional characters, what is the tech tree? What is the timeline like?
Well, the timeline is basically the same as the as original Civ 4, along with some of the next war things. It goes up into the near future. But the techs themselves are pretty much unchanged.
You just added these fictional units into the tech tree?
Yeah.
I see. So, in addition to having, like, dwarves or whatnot, you still have the warrior, and you still have the spearman. And...
Oh, yeah. It's,
okay.
All the old stuff is still there.
So it's like Civ 4 plus this wild and crazy hodgepodge of fictional characters. That's kind of cool.
Did you have new fictional units as well?
Outside of the heroes?
Outside of the heroes.
Yeah, some of the unique units for the new Civs are based on some fictional ones. But I was planning on implementing this other thing, basically a second unique unit that somehow relates to that culture's fiction. So, like, the American second unique unit would be a Wild West gunslinger. The English unique unit would be a Knight of the Round Table. Stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
Kind of a folk mythology, hero.
Your seven new corporations, do they replace the ones in the game, or do they make 14 corporations?
They're based on the original ones. I tried to find good fictional counterparts for them.
But you swapped out the old ones and put these new ones in.
Yeah, so Bubblegum Shrimp replaces Sid Sushi and stuff like that.
Cybit?
Yes, Movie the Golden Cat.
Cybit Iron Systems kills me.
Yeah. I've done the same thing for some of the old ones.
Literally.
Like Camelot replaces the Forbidden Palace, Xanadu replaces the Hermitage, and things like that.
And cool. You're the heroes that you've introduced, do you have specific fictional names for them?
Oh yeah, Enkidu's in there. I've never heard of that before, to be honest.
And you said you made some Python changes. Are there any SDK changes?
So far, no. Mainly because I royally suck at programming, to be honest. I mean, anything beyond XML is just too much for my... I'm more of an artist.
Join the club.
Yeah. I'm really just... I can't get into a programmer's mindset when I do that kind of stuff.
Well, just, lose the girlfriend, lose the house, lose the money... Eat pizza.
Lose the hygiene.
Lose the hygiene. That'll be your first steps.
I'll be working on that, certainly.
Well, I did wanted to add, that I just think it would be a good idea for us to, give a call out for him that he wants to recruit some Python and SDK programmers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the very top thing, is like looking for programmers.
And you can pay them in slices of pizza.
So.
Absolutely. Yep. The big problem that I'm having is that my planning has outstripped my ability to program. So I have all these heroes that I want to do, but I don't know how to do. So I've been planning on writing a hero based on Don Quixote, but I don't know how to program him. The same is true for artwork.
He would have the ability to destroy windmills, right?
I was going
to
say, you could attack any enemy windmill.
Well, I was thinking he could enter a city, and then that city would go into celebration. Because in the second half of the series, he basically became a local celebrity. And so he could have that effect for a player.
Well, that'd be interesting. Yeah. Good defensive unit.
I also want to include all these things. Like, I want to include Superman in the game, but I just don't have any artwork to work on that.
Oh, that's only one artist away. I'm sure you could find some artists be like, Superman!
Yeah.
Superman!
Now, what would be really nice is, to see the animation they make when he uses the eye lasers.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
He might be a little unbalanced, though.
So Superman might be a bit overpowered. And yeah, I had considered that. I came up with the idea recently that maybe instead of having him just be a unique unit, he could only be unique to America, and then every other Civ in the game could have their own superhero counterpart. So Superman for America, Goku for Japan, for example.
Yeah, versus Captain Red for Russia.
Omega Red.
There's a side comic book where Superman instead of falling in America, Midwest, it falls in Russia.
The Red Sun, yeah.
And he's raised, yeah, he's raised in Russia. It's awesome.
Yep.
No, he becomes president of Russia.
Justice in the Russian way.
Well, apparently Stalin is Russian for Man of Steel.
Well, that's not even his real name, well, yeah. Anyways.
It's his nickname, and it's an effective one, I guess.
So, what should we expect in the future for your mod?
Hopefully just a lot more expansion. I mean, I'm going to keep doing the animated leaders. You've been covering those, so Gloriana, Rama, and all the other ones I've done there. Adenoid Hinkel is... So basically more artwork, more wonders that I hopefully will get around to programming. Just more.
Sweet. And when do you forecast this mod will be out of beta and first into your stable version? And when do you expect that to happen?
I have no idea. like, when we get out of Iraq, maybe.
Oh, well, that's a good timetable. Never.
Yeah.
A little bit of a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, where do you live exactly in the planet, unless you live on another planet?
I live on this one, told. I live in Maryland, College Park. I'm going to the University of Maryland right now. I'm majoring in theater, oddly enough.
Oh, how gay.
Absolutely. Oh, for muse of fire to ascend the brightest heaven of invention and all that stuff.
Fail.
If by fail you mean you don't know what that's referring to, then yes, Tony.
A little bit of A, a little bit of B.
Yeah. I live in fiction. I'm an actor, so I live in fiction, which I guess brings us full circle.
That came with the mod. Yeah, you got the mod from it.
So it's... Thinking of stage acting, or is this more like motion pictures, TV, things like that?
Really, whatever.
Does everyone have to start stage acting?
Really, whatever I can get. I haven't been a very successful actor so far. I mean, it's been more of a hobby, I guess.
How many TV shows have you been in?
None, so far. I mean, I'm still in college.
Well, you've been in one podcast now, at least.
Yes, this is my debut, I guess.
Well, he says he's still in college.
Oh, very good.
But it's mainly I live in university plays.
Have you had a lead role in any of these university plays?
No, it's tough.
You know, I was in a school play once, and I played
a woman.
Cinderella's. We were playing. No, it was Cinderella.
He was Cinderella,
and I was the skinny guy with the glasses at the end, who has to carry around the slipper. You remember that character?
So absolutely no lines.
And he drops the slipper at the end. It's like, oh no, the slipper is ruined, you know. And it's like, okay, I have the other slipper.
Yeah,
you know?
I've done that stuff.
That guy.
Done that.
I was like six.
I thought you'd be the wicked stepsister or something.
No, if you saw me, you would see how I was the perfect fit for count guy, Duke, whatever his name is.
Well, Ken does look great in weird hats. We know that so far. Now, Kyle. Obviously,
and I was in another play where I was a guy in a hat too.
So obviously, you're probably going to need a day job. What do you do in the mundane world to earn a little bit of credits?
I work in the library, actually.
Oh, is that fun? Do you like that?
Yeah, it's quiet workplace. Naturally,
you get to walk around and tell everyone, "Shh, you're talking too loud."
Yes, yes, there is that bit of authority, and it's a fun workplace.
You know, I thought it'd be great to like. Walk around and do that, but have one of those bullhorn cans, like, you're talking too loud.
That would kind of defeat the purpose, but that's totally what you do, Tony, isn't it?
Wasn't that a sketch on Nickelodeon or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, there was a sketch show on Nickelodeon that did that exact premise. Like this.
Is it where they dump the slime on your head?
Yes.
You can't do that on TV.
No, it was All That. It was on All That.
You can't say that on TV?
It was a show called All That, and there was this fat woman walking around going, "Quiet! This is a library!" And stuff like that.
It's awesome. Well, we're glad to have you here, and we hope to see more of your artwork coming out, because we've been pretty stable. I've been picking out a lot of your good artworks, and you're a great artist.
Thanks.
You need to get that code working, though, but listeners, download this mod. Help him finish it. If you're a coder, help him get a Superman graphic. It'll be awesome.
And for those of you who've been following my leaderheads, I'm close to finishing one for Beowulf. And,
cool.
And another one for Doctor Doom.
Oh, sweet.
Mm. Yes, I forgot to mention that.
Comic book civ.
Yeah, I forgot to mention one of the other civs that I've added to the mod is called...
That could be a whole mod.
I've added a new civ called the Freedomoronican Empire, which is basically a hodgepodge collection of... different fictional Eastern European countries melded together. So, Fredonia from Duck Soup is in there. So Groucho Marx is a leader. And Moronica is another civ mixed in there. And that's led by one of the Stooges, because Moronica's from a Three Stooges short where they made fun of Hitler.
Larry Curly or Mo?
Mo, I think. Mo Hailstone is his fictional name.
Well, he sounds like the one who'd be taking charge of the country of Moronica.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like this suggestion for new religions. Flying Spaghetti Monsterism.
Ooh, big time.
Church of the Subgenius. Everyone's familiar with that, I hope.
I've heard of it.
Well, I don't. Brian-ism. I actually don't know if I'll be adding any new religions. I mean, I've added three already. Cthulhu's Call, Witchcraft, and the Church of All Worlds from Stranger in a Strange Land.
Ooh, witchcraft. And, ooh, magic. Ooh.
Yes.
Okay, but isn't that technically a real religion?
Well, it's.
So it can't be in the game? Ha, huh, got you there.
Oh.
Got smoked. Can't smoke you like a cigarette.
No, I'm keeping the real religions in the game as well, because I forgot to mention.
I know. Change it to Witchlocks.
Well, you know, you can consider the real religions to be out of fictional books.
Well, yes. I wanted to keep the old religions because they add so much lore, so much legends to the mod that it's really would be disingenuous to leave them out.
Mm.
So Christianity is still there, so is Judaism. In fact, one of the new features of the mod is that every religion gets its own special unit. So if you have Judaism in a city, then you can build a golem. If you have Islam, you can build a genie and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
Hmm.
Very cool.
So you only included real fictional religions rather than fictional religions.
I've included the fictional ones too. Cthulhu's Call is in there, so that way you can build Shoggoths. Yeah.
So I think today we've lost about 10 of our 17 listeners with the religion jokes. Yep, I think we're down to what, 7 listeners who are probably drunk. Yes,
five.
So including us.
Wait, you think I listen to this
show? Yeah, I was going to say, I don't listen to this show.
Does that include us four?
Once when I edit it, and then Dan will email me, he's like,
sorry.
Pony, you forgot to bleep out the cuss words again.
And then he'll answer back, bleep, 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 bleep.
That's right.
Bleep.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email us at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast,
Revcast, or
Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
And we're done.
Well, almost. We're almost done. We started trying to record this at 1:45 p.m. my time.
2 o'clock.
And we're now getting finished at... Yeah, well, about 2 o'clock. And then we're now finishing at 4:15 my time, and my wife wanted me to go downtown and meet her for Matsuri, which is a place where you go to eat Japanese food and watch karate, you know, trainees hit each other.
Ooh, it's like food and entertainment.
And I don't think I'm going to make it because it closes at 5.
You're in the doghouse tonight.
I'm in the dog. Well, you know, I kind of explained to her I might not make it, but I wanted to hit it up with some.
But you're going
to
be the doghouse.
Yeah.
Attached to a wheelhouse, though. So
oh yeah, because I'm going to offer on that house. That'll be sweet. Yeah. Well, I kind of wanted some yakitori, man. Have you ever had that stuff? It's like meat on a stick. It's great.
It's a kebab.
Meat on a stick, yeah.
Well, you know, it's one of the versions of meat on the stick. There's endless iterations of that.
I think every culture invented meat on a stick.
It's such a great idea, though.
That's a new technology for Civ. Meat on a stick.
plus one happiness.
It's very early technology. You know, comes right after animal domestication.
What would the tech quote be for meat on a stick?
Ooh, tastes good.
Finger licking good.
There we go.
Oh my goodness, too much. This is too much. I'm overloaded here. But so much fun. We have 3 listeners left, so this goes out to you. We love you, oh, 3 listeners. And please, we'll try to offend you soon. So just stay waiting. We'll get you off the list pretty soon so we can have 0 listeners or negative number of listeners. How would that work? A negative number of listeners.
Alternate universes?
We'll have to start working on an entire other universe to piss them off, too.
Well, let's get to it.
You know, we have listeners. Our listeners have become imaginary numbers.
Well, there certainly are imaginary.
They're imaginary listeners.
All right. Today, we have been joined with Kenneth, Impaler of WRG, Ferlin.
Laters.
Tim, Rough High, Pratt.
Damn, my mic's not working.
John, BT Oz, Archer.
Bugger, my microphone's just started working now.
And me, Tony Garrett, and Dr. Keel, goodbye. With special guest co-host Kyle CFK Calgren.
I'm special.
Yay! All right. Too much fun.
Special in a Special Olympics kind of way?
No, like special occasion short bus style.
I'm a special guest star.
Oh, yes. Definitely special. All right. Listener.
Part of the SS.
I'm just going to use singular. Listener, you'll hear from us again in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Record date. Sound clips copyright Civilization 4 and the Warlords and Beyond the Sword expansion packs.
Copyright 2009, Appalachian Civilization site at appalachian.net.